you and encourage you. Thank you for letting us pray for you. The prayer cards that are in the pews are being used some, but I'd like to encourage you to use them more and more. Our staff on Tuesdays. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thought I could get through the service without that. Put that on a prayer card. On Wednesdays, when we get together as a staff, we pray. We pray for you. There's someone in the prayer room right now praying for you. And if you don't share your needs, your concerns with us, then we can't do that. So these are in the pews. They're also just in the box outside the prayer room where you can just drop it in any time of the week even, not just on Sundays. We want to pray for you. But we also want to hear what God's doing in your lives. So your praises, and some people write praises on the note board in the prayer room. Some people have filled out cards. I want to just share some of the praises and the requests with you, and maybe you want to add to them. Holy Spirit, I'm so grateful you're always near. God, thank you for always pursuing the lost and broken. Lord, you provide. You love us. You are a good, good Father. Praise you because you never let me down or forsake me. God kept pursuing me for 49 years, and he finally caught me, and I thank him for not giving up. You are so gracious to give, even when we don't deserve it. Thank you for keeping our family safe during a recent tornado storm that devastated our barns. Your steadfast love amazes me. Something else you want to just give word of praise for? Yes, so if you put a prayer concern in the offering plate, it's going to the prayer room and to us. I'm going to be listing some prayer requests. Yours may be on there. We'll be grouping them together, but absolutely, you put it in the offering plate. Hey, Todd, since you're right there, I don't know the offering plate. If there are any in there, you could just, or Craig. Craig has them. Yep, he'll make sure it gets over there. This morning, absolutely. A praise. Anything you want to add? Okay. I'll give you an opportunity later to do that. We got our team back from Cambodia and Thailand. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. We'll be hearing from them. And down the road, so we're glad. Just praise the Lord, okay? Because we want to keep on praising the Lord. We have some prayer requests, and we've grouped them together so they still remain somewhat anonymous, but categorize them. Here's some. I'm going to have you pick one of these and to pray for them. Prayers for healing from surgeries, cancer, families struggling with illnesses, addictions, and threats of suicide. Pray for individuals and families who need to know Jesus, who are drifting away from him. Family dealing with the loss of a mother or wife through childbirth, and then the health concerns of the newborn. Infertility issues and trusting in God's plan. A young person diagnosed with MS. People feeling unloved, without value. Prayers for safety and health for a daughter traveling, studying abroad. Some people like prayers that there would be buyers for their homes, and individuals praying for success in the business, for wisdom and sensitivity in leadership. Perhaps a name or a situation comes to your mind that you would like to pray for. I'm going to give you the opportunity right now. Just pray. Maybe it's something else that you brought with you this morning. You can pray for that. Let's pray to the Lord. Jesus, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that you are an attentive God, even though we may question your attentiveness or your timing. We trust you for that which we know and that which we don't, that which we understand, that which we cannot. And we intercede and pray for those we care about, those that are hurting, those that are lonely, those who are sad, those feeling overwhelmed and overlooked. We pray, Jesus, for the salvation of many, for a revival in our nation and around the globe, for our friends serving abroad and our friends to whom we work with. May the light of Christ be evident through us. And may our hearts be ready to hear what you have to say to us this morning, even now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the prayer cards, after listing a concern for some family members, said this: please pray God would intervene and they would come to know him as their Lord and Savior. That phrase, Lord and Savior, is something that we use, we throw out from time to time. We may not even really understand what Lord and Savior means, but it's one of those Christianese words, phrases that we use. Not too long ago, while meeting with some girls who were about to be baptized, one of them said to me about baptism, it's a way of showing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And I asked her, what does that mean? Do you understand that? And it's kind of like, well, don't you know what it means? it's something that she understood, but she couldn't articulate real well. And so I spent some time just saying, okay, let's talk about what Lord and Savior means. And then I was meeting with her friends, and I decided to give them the teaching on Lord and Savior and what they mean, and what it means, and the differences. And so then I figured if it was good for them to hear, then perhaps all of us need to have some understanding and a pre-baptism instruction on the difference and the importance of Jesus being our Lord and our Savior. The term Lord and Savior comes from Scripture, and we find evidences in the Old Testament where these words are put together, and in the New Testament. We're going to begin in Isaiah, verse 3 of chapter 43. God is talking, and he gives these names to himself. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. A couple verses later, we find this reiterated in verse 11, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. This idea, this principle that Jesus is our Savior, that God, you know, is our Lord, is essential to our faith. And Jesus himself is saying, you know, there isn't any other way. There isn't any other truth apart from this truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so he's saying, there isn't any other God. There isn't any other way. It's not through Buddha. It's not through being good person. It's not through giving. It is through the person of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. The prophet Jeremiah also shares this phrase, and we find here on two occasions these words: in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. Now, the word branch is capitalized because it's foretelling of Jesus. Jesus will come. He is the sprout that comes from the root of Jesse, David's father. It is through the line of David that Jesus comes. The Messiah will come. And what we have here is a foretelling of this righteous branch. He goes on to say, he will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. And then on Jesus' birthday, when the angels show up to the shepherds on the hillside of Bethlehem to say, a child has been born in this town this very night, this is what we find in Luke 2 that the angels are declaring. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We find from day one, Jesus coming onto the scene, and Lord and Savior are names that are given to him. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, uses the phrase Lord and Savior more than any of the other apostles, and in his writings, we find this. I've just selected one of several instances, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This phrase has been around for a very long time. But do we understand what it means? Do we understand what it means that Jesus, the Christ, is our Lord and our Savior? To help us understand this, I'm going to actually flip-flop them and begin by answering the question, is Jesus our Savior, and what does that mean? It actually is a little easier for us to understand and to describe. And when I was meeting with the girls and saying, what does it mean that Jesus is your Savior, one of them would say, he rescues us. I go, absolutely, that's it. Jesus is our rescuer. He is the one who comes to our aid when we are in need. There were people in Italy who were underneath the rubble after the earthquake, and they needed a rescuer. And there were teams that came in and rescued them. Thankfully, even after hours of being covered, they were rescued. Some people who are swimming. So let's say, imagine you're swimming. You're a pretty good swimmer, but you know you get a cramp and you're going down, and you didn't expect that to happen. You're just starting to sink. You're going down. You need someone to rescue you, and so there on the edge of the pool, there's the lifeguard, and they throws the life ring to you, and you have a choice. You can take the life ring and be saved, or you can decide, no, I'm going to try to make it on my own. This illustration of Jesus being our lifeguard, which if you put it in a different phrase, he is the guardian of life. Jesus as the guardian of our lives has thrown not just a life ring, because he is life, he has thrown himself. He has thrown himself to our aid. We live in a world where people are drowning all around us all the time. We have been in those waters. We have been drowning. Some of you perhaps have come this morning and you're drowning. Know this, that God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. We find that also in Peter, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What our Savior, what the great rescuer does, is that because he sees the world as drowning in sin, he has thrown the opportunity for rescue to everyone. Everyone, you're in the waters, you just take hold of it. The decision, though, to be rescued is not a decision that the lifeguard can make for the swimmer, can he or she? The person in the water, the person who's drowning, they have to decide for themselves. I'm going to take hold of that life. There are some, however, they're going, no, I'm going to try to swim on my own. There's got to be something else out here I can take hold of. Thank you, but no thanks. And we have plenty in our world who are trying to do that. But for those who believe, who receive Christ, they have taken hold and they have come and they have been rescued. And this is what God does for us, which we accept. Jesus does something for us. He throws himself, his very self, to us, and we accept him. And some of you say, I know what it means to accept Jesus. I did that when I was 12, when I was at camp. I accepted Jesus and invited him into my heart. I did that when I was 6, when I was at church one Sunday evening. I invited Jesus into my heart. I did that when I was 45. I was at a revival conference, and I went forward, and I invited Jesus into my heart. I did that when I was 27. It was an Easter service. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. I did that when I was 33, when I was listening to the Christian radio on my way to work, and I pulled over, and I cried, and I asked Jesus in my heart. I did that when I was... The stories could go on. These are your stories. Stories about how you invited Jesus into your heart and you decided to make him Savior of your life. But to understand Jesus as Lord is different. And to help us understand the Lordship of Jesus, we're going to allow these three fellas to help us. If you've watched any of the Toy Story movies, this is Toy Story 2, in my opinion, the best of the trilogy. And in this story, what we find is that these toy Martians are rescued by Mr. Potato Head. And Mr. Potato Head does something wonderful for them, and they have an amazing response. Let's learn about lordship from the three Martians of Toy Story.
How are we gonna get him now? Pizza, anyone?
Go, go, go!
I got it!
Buzz, are you coming?
No, I have a lot of catching up to do with my dad.
Good throw, son. That's my boy. Go on, buddy.
Oh, you're a great dad.
Yippee!
Farewell.
Does anyone know how to drive?
Sleek, take the pedals. Rex, you navigate. Ham and potato, operate the levers and knobs.
Whoa!
Strangers from the outside.
Oh, no.
He's in a red light! We can catch him!
Maximum power, Sleek!
Oh, third green! Hurry!
Why won't it go?
Use the wand of power.
Oh, ow, ow! Rex, which way?
Left! Oh, that's right! That's right! Left! Left is right! Buzz, he's turning left! He's turning left!
I seriously doubt he's getting this kind of mileage.
Go right! To the right! Right!
You have saved our lives. We are eternally grateful.
Yeah, whatever. Here, it's a white zone.
You have saved our lives. We are eternally grateful.
So my question is this. How thankful are you that Jesus saved you? How thankful are you? The Martians give us a wonderful example of what it means to be eternally grateful. There are some who are rescued out of the rubble, let's say in Italy, rescued from the pool of drowning, and they will say, thank you, and then turn around and walk back to their life that they had before, with a memory of being rescued, but it not necessarily changing their life in any way. The Martians, however, understand lordship. Someone has rescued them. And because they have been rescued, they are eternally grateful and they will follow Mr. Potato Head wherever he goes. Now, Mr. Potato Head actually is annoyed by that, but I'll tell you what, Jesus is not. The truth is, he actually expects that. He expects that we will follow him. Is Jesus your Lord? Another term that we could use is master or leader. We don't really use the word Lord in our normal vocabulary. Ancient times, there were people who were, you know, they had a lord and the lord of the manor. They were responsible, and people were servants, and they were helpers of the lord, and they had this, you know, relationship with a person who owned it all. In our society, the only example that came to my mind that we still use the term lord is landlord. When we have a landlord, someone owns the property. Someone is responsible, that we are responsible to, and that person has access to the property. When Jesus is our Lord, if we have made him Lord, then he has complete access to our lives. He actually owns the property, and we are responsible to him. It is more than just a thank you for rescuing me, but you saved our lives. You saved my life, and I'm eternally grateful. So because of that, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to invest every part of me into you because I am full of gratitude. How grateful are you that you've been saved? The idea of following Jesus is a phrase that he uses from the very beginning. While his disciples were mending the nets there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus walks up to them and says, follow me. Throughout his journeys and his teachings, the miracles, all along the way, over and over again, you could trace those words, follow me, follow me, follow me. The blind person on the side of the road, the man who was controlled by a demon, the person who was healed, come follow me. Come follow me. These same words he has offered to you and me. Come follow me. Even after Jesus' resurrection, when Peter was distracted by what was going to happen with John and the other pieces, these words from John at the end of the book are these simple words. You must follow me. Jesus is our Lord when we make him our Lord and we follow him. This, in essence, is something that we do that he accepts. Not that we are saved by those responses of following Jesus, but we are so overwhelmed with gratitude that we follow him. Somewhere along the line, we have divided these words. We've put them together in a Christian phrase, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but actually living them out, I think we have separated them. And I don't know why. Because at the heart of these phrases, we could ask ourselves this question, if Jesus isn't our Lord, then is he really our Savior? Because they go hand in hand. I began to even not use the phrase as frequently about I ask Jesus into my heart. It is, again, kind of a phrase that, you know, something that I get, although Jesus comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and lives in my heart. But when we make a decision that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we give him our life. Have you given Jesus your life? Not just that, have you accepted him as your Savior, but have you given him your life, therefore acknowledging him as Lord? And what we find in the scriptures is this, is he who declares with his mouth and believes in his heart that Jesus is Lord will be saved. This lordship question is essential and has eternal consequences. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Is he your Savior and Lord? And perhaps today, you're beginning to question and wonder, have I really kind of been going my own way and just said the Savior part is good enough for me, but the Lordship piece, I don't know if I'm there yet. Today, you can give him your life. Today, you can declare that he's Lord, not just with your mouth, but with our actions, to really follow him because we are eternally grateful. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to process that in your own heart, and then I will let Pastor Joe come and share a thought with you about lordship as well. Will you just pray and ask yourself, Lord, have I made you my Lord? You could do that even now. Some of you have, go ahead and keep your eyes closed. You invited Jesus into your heart, and you have a story and a time that perhaps go with that. But really making him your Lord has been something that you've been resisting, something that you didn't maybe even know what that looked like. But you want Jesus to also be your Lord and not only your Savior. And without anyone looking at it, maybe say, today, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Just raise your hand, saying, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. I give my life to you. Be Lord. All right, thank you. Someone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord. You've come to save us and to lead us. May we be good followers. May we look more like you. May we move into understanding what it is to have you as Lord of our life. And may those around us also see that clearly. And we pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful message our pastor has preached today? I just want to tell you something that happened that is exciting, and it goes exactly with the theme that he preached about today. About 50 years ago, I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sweeping a hall, Anderson Hall, in a college where I was. And a song that I had learned when I was a child started playing in my head. And the song said like this, translated into English, what will you say when you know that your best friend never knew about Jesus, of the loving Jesus, of his death on the cross? What will you say when he's before the judgment day, right there before the judge? And he points out to you and said, you were my best friend, but you told me about the weather, you told me about the baseball team, you told me about everything else, but you never told me about Jesus. And because of that, I'm going to eternity before this judgment day. I'm condemned to my fate because you were my best friend. We shared so much together, and you never told me about Jesus Christ. Now, yesterday, I was at the kitchen table, and I was questioning myself. I'm pretty old. Is my life finished? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And the Lord said to me, the calling that I gave you is always for you until the day I die. And for some reason, I opened the television set. And this is what came immediately. I taped it, and it's short, big letters. And this is what I heard. Somebody was sharing about the Lordship of Christ, about being saved. But then after the person became a Christian, this is what I felt when I first gave my life to Christ, that I needed to do something. And this is for the young people. This is for everyone here. I want you to please, please listen to every word I say. It changed my life. It was on the television yesterday and says, the title is, Are You My Friend? It says, you knew the Lord in truth and glory, but you never did once tell me the story. My knowledge then was so very dim, you could have led me safely to him. We lived together on this earth, but you never told me of the second birth. Now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true, and I call you my friend and I trusted you. But I learn now that it's all too late, and you could have saved me from this fate. We walk by day and we talk by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die, and you knew that I would never live on high. Yes, I call you my friend all my life, and I trusted you in joy and in strife. And yet in coming to this horrible end, can I call you now my friend? This man was being before the throne on Judgment Day. You know, I felt, Lord, what I did all those years, this is what this thing is all about. This is what this letter is all about. Somebody wrote it and sent it to this person. And I said, you know, I feel assured that what I did was from you. Because this is what I've been telling the people, that Jesus loves you, that he came to this world, that he died for you for the forgiveness of your sins, that he resurrected, that he's living with us, he's living in glory, interceding for us. No matter what area of work you have, and all the young people, what you prepare for, you're called to tell his story about our Lord and about our Savior. Be a true friend. There's nothing about being a friend. Even Jesus called us friends. Be a true friend. Not just giggle together, two girls or two boys, or just fighting and having fun, being friends. Be a true friend. And always trying to find new friends in school, wherever. Have a hidden agenda. It's Jesus. That's your hidden agenda. Be a true friend and tell people around you, don't let anyone die without knowing Jesus. You owe it to your friend. You owe it to yourself. If you say you love your neighbor as yourself, in this church, we're all sinners. But some are forgiven sinners going to heaven, while others are sinners going down to a terrible fate. Don't let your friends perish without Jesus. In accepting Jesus, they'll be born again. They will be ready for Judgment Day. Be a friend. The greatest thing you can tell others is about the love of Jesus and accept him as your Savior and Lord. Thank you for the message, Pastor. And I hope this reaches out to your heart. Let the Lord talk to you. This is just the really being the best friend you can be to anybody, is to share Jesus Christ, and you'll have your friend for eternity. Amen? God bless you.
Please stand with us.